Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. We are so happy to have you here with us this evening. We are going to be talking about transitions in health and wealth and ways that we can create that. You know, one of the things that actually I think a lot of our listeners don't know, Ken, is that you are the founder of a, I always get this wrong, 501c3
nonprofit.
I know the name of it. It's called Stars of Courage. And I know that the goal of Stars of Courage is to bring coaching, life and business coaching, to people who are living at the poverty level. And I know that our guest today was part of the creation of all of that with you. But tell our listeners a little bit about what does Stars of Courage really do?
Well, Stars of Courage, as you mentioned, Paula, is an organization that empowers individuals to live a better life. So we're dealing with the minds and holding people accountable and helping them to grow their lives in ways they probably never thought was possible. And I want to say this, that Senator Thane, who's on the line right now, was inspirational in getting the Stars of Courage started about a year and a half ago up in Idaho. He was trying to pass a primary health care bill, and he decided that he wanted to add mentors and life coaches to that bill, so when somebody came in, the government paid for their health care, they could have a volunteer process where they'd also get a life coach. That inspired me to put together a group of life coaches, and the Stars of Courage was born. So I'm really feeling blessed to have Senator Thane on the show. And I do want to mention, since we're talking about Stars of Courage, if individuals would like to find out more about that, they can go to starsofcourage.org, starsofcourage.org. So maybe you have a family member that's struggling with finances, they're struggling maybe with their health or challenges. Have them go there. We've got coaches that'll work with them up to 3 years, and will take their lives to a completely new level. All they have to do is really apply online. It's a very simple process, and we'll assign a coach.
Fabulous, fabulous. So let's introduce Senator Thane and bring him on.
It's my pleasure to introduce Senator Thane. Since 2007, Senator Thane has been a state representative in the Idaho legislature, focusing mostly on educational reform. He serves on the Education, Commerce, and Human Resource Joint Finance and Appropriation Committees, as well as interim committees to rewrite the funding formula for K through 12 and others. Currently, he's working on alternative to Medicare expansion that empowers people and uses state funds to provide primary health care linked with life coaching. He also has a new book out right now. It's called Reclaiming Healthcare, the Citizen and Legislative Guide to Reduce Medical Costs, which is a powerful read. Senator, welcome to our call, and I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Well, it's great to be with you, Ken and Paul. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us. It's an honor to have you. You know, Senator, I'd like to just get right into this, because I think healthcare is something we all have a complaint about. It's expensive. The insurance is expensive. We all need it. It's kind of like, you know, can't live with it, can't live without it. What are you doing to help make this a better situation for people?
Well, that's a great question. I'm actually trying to change the discussion. I'd like people to know a couple of things. One, things are the way they are because of cause and effect. We have a system that's designed to create what we have, which is kind of a mess.
Amen.
However, a lot of people really are question and wonder, well, where do you start?
Yeah.
How can we solve this problem? In Congress, the Republicans, the Democrats both seem to be not providing anything that sounds right. And so one of the problems is we're starting in the wrong place. So what do I mean by that? Well, we're starting with health insurance. If you start trying to give everyone health insurance, you provide health insurance for everyone, it's problematic because health insurance does not equate to access to health care. So one of the things that I'm doing is I'm saying, let's start first trying to build upon the foundation of everyone having access to health care, particularly primary care. There's a lot of different ways that you can do that. But if you start there, then health insurance becomes a tool of that effort. Then transparency becomes a tool of that effort. And costs can go down, outcomes can improve, and access can increase. So there's a five-step program, and maybe the I don't know if you have a question about what I've said so far.
Well, I want to just comment because I know your one of your philosophies that you've taught me is to stop empowering institutions and start empowering people. So how does this what you're talking about here fit into that equation?
That's a great comment, Ken. I appreciate that. Well, our current system, believe it or not, 89% of all medical spending goes to insurance companies or federal medical programs. So 89%, that means only 11% is controlled by the people. So we're funding institutions, and healthcare is about relationships, not institutions. So that's part of the problem. When we're focusing on health insurance, we're putting all this money into institutions, but the people don't have enough money left over to make choices. So a focus on primary care starts to empower the individual and the individual provider, because 80 to 90% of all medical care is provided in a primary care setting. So that's where we need to build that relationship, empower people, give them funds so they can pay cash for their primary care. There are several different ways to go about it. Start at that point.
You know, we don't have that kind of a discussion going on in Congress at all right now that I'm aware of. So what's your five-point plan? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I was going to ask that too. Good.
Okay, point one, focus on primary care, which is providing access. So that's number one. If we can get people access to care, then we can start driving down costs because they'll get care when they need it before they get sick and end up in the emergency room. Second thing is change the way you pay for primary care. When you bill insurance companies, about 40% of every dollar spent on primary care is eaten up in paperwork costs. So it's just inefficient. We know it costs $500 to $700 a year per person for primary care. So give each person a membership or money to pay cash for primary care and have primary care providers just take cash and not bill insurance companies for these small items. So that's point one and two.
Yeah, I just want to mention that. You know, you and I were talking yesterday about the experience I had with a primary care physician where I just called him up on the internet for $75. I was able to see a doctor immediately, talk to him about what was going on with me, and have a prescription sent to my pharmacy. All that took place in about 15 minutes, and it cost me $75. So that's amazing, and I think that's what you're talking about here. There's other alternatives.
So, and as soon as you start focusing on the primary care side, you start realizing there's a cash market out there. I have a kind of a summer sinus infection. I haven't had one for a long time, but I got one. I worked too hard. The cash price was the insurance company was $53. I could have got it for $20 for cash.
Wow.
So insurance is driving up costs. It's kind of perverse. It's hard for people to believe that insurance is actually costing them money. But
No, I don't find it.
Well, I don't find that hard. You think of the overhead of the insurance companies and all the employees and everybody, you know, all the lobbyists and everything else they're doing to keep their position. That's a huge overhead.
But, Senator, I know there are others like me who are on the edge of their seat wanting to know those other 3 points before we run out of time here. So would you go ahead and share those?
Sure, sure. The third point is the type of insurance product that you have. Because of 75% of all medical spending is on chronic health conditions, or actually a little bit more than that, but 75% of those chronic conditions are from lifestyle choices, smoking, overeating, lack of exercise, too much stress. So you have to craft a health insurance product that encourages people to make better lifestyle choices because they're the ones driving up medical costs by utilization. The fourth thing is we need to get more money in the hands of the folks through health savings accounts or, you know, other methods. But they need a transparency, a price transparency tool, so they know where to shop best for the money, how to spend their money the best. I envision the ideal policy for me is a $4,000 deductible within the company gives the employee $4,000 each year. So they're spending the first $4,000 of their medical costs, and so they're interested in price. And the fifth thing is be more thoughtful on how we go about providing health care for those in poverty. We're doing it through Medicaid, through health insurance, through poverty programs, but very few of those are focusing on primary care first. So that's what Chapter 9 in my book is about, is Part 5. So to recap, it's focus on primary care, change the way you pay for primary care, change our health insurance policies so they're more high deductible, but your people have access to funds, so it really doesn't make any difference. Transparency tool is 4 and 5, be more thoughtful in the way we help the poor.
Wow, beautiful. That's phenomenal, beautiful. Senator Thane. Thank you for that. Senator Thane has a new book out called Reclaiming Healthcare, the Citizens and Legislative Guide to Reduce Medical Costs. I encourage you to pick this up. Senator Thane, where can they pick your book up? This is an amazing read, and it covers a lot of the points we're talking about here.
They can go to reclaimhealthcare.com and order it there off the website.
Okay, reclaimhealthcare.com, reclaimhealthcare.com.
Senator Thane, I'm so excited that somebody is coming up with some answers. It's been just a joy and a pleasure and an honor to have you with us. We'll have to have you back again.
I'd love to come.
All right. You take good care, and thanks again.
Thank you so much, Senator Thane. We appreciate you being here and everything you're doing to help us have a better society.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be right back on Transition Radio.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org. We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. I'm Paula Shaw, here with Ken D. Foster, and in studio with us right now, Kelly Sample, who I like to just shorten her bio to say she is a sales genius. This is a woman who has an incredible story that I'm going to let her tell you, but she is actually a sales and business strategist and works with entrepreneurs and businesses as well as professionals to really help them unleash their inner sales genius so they can get out there and do it really well so that they can have the sales that they want and need to excel in their businesses.
Well, we can all use a lot more sales, so that's good. Kelly, well, I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Some people think they don't need to know about sales right now, right? But you had such a good point earlier when we were saying, but everybody is selling on some level, right, Kelly?
That's so true. You know, life is sales. First of all, if you even just look at little kids, they're always selling. Mom, I want this. Mom, I need this. Mom. And then, you know, they do the sales that drives you into submission sometimes, right? Which we don't want to be that salesperson driving people into submission. But it really is, you know, there's always, we're convincing somebody to do something, or if we're interested in a certain topic, we're always trying to use our skills to be able to motivate somebody else to do something, mm-hmm. and that's sales.
Very good.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't think sales is, you know, think a used car salesman, or they think of selling.
I think it's oily,
you know,
slimy.
Something slimy, yeah. Oily. How do you overcome that? What's that about?
Well, you know, it's really interesting that you say that, because actually how I got started in sales. So I went to school and I got an engineering degree. I actually went to USC
engineering.
Up in LA.
Did you hear that, folks? Engineering.
And so I was an engineer for 5 or 6 years, but I wanted to go into like technical sales. And I was told I could not sell. I was an engineer. So I got put into this classification.
You were told you could not sell because mm-hmm. you were an engineer?
Yep. I got classified into a certain type, and because I was this, that there was no way that I could sell. Mm-hmm. And these interviewers were basically saying, you know, sorry, we're not going to, you know, even talk to you any further about this. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to show you. I'm going to like learn how to sell and be one of the best salespeople mm-hmm. that I could be. And mm-hmm. so that's what I did. And honestly, I was very ashamed to tell people I was in sales, especially coming from being an engineer.
Right.
And, you know, gone to school for that, put all that time into doing that. I worked 5 years in that area. But one thing I learned is sales is also helping people. If you're really in, you know, have a product that can really make a difference for people, or a service that can really make a difference for mm-hmm. people, it really is something that is a benefit to others.
Right.
I mean, we're buying things all the time. Why do we buy them? Because it provides something for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're the service provider, or you're selling a product that really does make a difference, you can feel good about selling that.
Yeah. And you know, I love that perspective, because I think too often we get uncomfortable because we don't have that perspective. But if you had that, you know, I'm doing something good for somebody here. You know, like in my work, my coach is talking to me about this all the time. You know, I'm in a therapeutic situation with people. I'm helping them usually when they're going through upheaval and stress and loss. So to present to them the package of services or something sometimes doesn't feel like it's in integrity with being Florence Nightingale, or you know what I mean, being that person of service. But what you're saying is actually so true. I know what I'm going to do with them and for them is going to change their life. It's going to help them. So I love that what you just said, because that gets you past that piece of thinking about you mm-hmm. and thinking more about them.
Well, and that's why I really like working with the entrepreneurs, the very small business professionals, because a lot of times when we have a service, that service is not just the only thing we're selling. We're selling ourselves. Mm. And sometimes we put ourselves too much into the equation, meaning that if somebody says no to us, it means that something's wrong with us,
uh-huh.
or that we did something bad, or that they just didn't like us. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily true. Maybe they weren't your right customer.
Right.
Or maybe it just wasn't the right time for them. It has nothing to do with your service not being a good service.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a case where a lot of times people don't necessarily know how to explain what it is that they do
uh-huh.
in a way their customers understand. I mean, if you think about a lot of times in professions, there's a certain lingo or a certain language that you learn mm-hmm. being engrossed in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking to your peers, you can use that language. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking to a prospective client, you can't use that language because they don't know what that means.
Yeah. Great.
I can't tell you how many networking events I've been at in my life where I've listened to somebody and I absolutely have no clue what they do.
Yes.
Have you had that experience?
And you smile and go, great.
What the heck are they talking about?
Explain something a little bit more. Right?
Okay, exactly. So this is what we're talking about
yeah.
here.
Well, and then when you confuse a customer like that and they have no idea really what you do, of course they're not going to say yes because they're not compelled.
Right.
Because they have no clue how you can really help them and what you can do for them. So really finding the right words to do that is very important so that you can then speak your voice.
So you're saying that you need to be able to explain what you do in a way that the other person easily sees how you can benefit them or help them, right?
Yeah, and the amazing thing is when you learn that language to make that connection, it's so much easier on you too. See, I think a lot of times people think they have to use these big words and these terms to make them look like the expert.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of times what those salespeople that drive you into submission do. If you ever have you ever been in a situation with a salesperson that they're using all these terms, and basically you're like, oh my gosh, I know nothing. I feel so stupid right now. I must need them. But that's their tactic, is they basically talk you into submission that you don't know anything. But are they really the right person for you if they have to do that?
Absolutely. Yeah,
usually not. And I think that has to do with the self-esteem issue, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of times.
Definitely.
Think about that. You know,
definitely.
If you're if you don't have right boundaries or self-esteem, then people can roll over you like that.
Oh, yeah.
And may, you know, it, of course, it's not. It's not a great example to have to go through that, right? Or experience, I meant. But that happens out there. So in service, when you're being a service to sell, let's talk about that. How can you convince somebody? And I like your word, understanding, Paula said, because understanding is about communication. How can we help people to understand about our products and service, not in a salesy, slimy way?
Well, one of the first things is you really have to understand your value. What do you provide for that client and what do you provide for your customers? And when I talk about value, I'm not just talking about your process. I'm talking about what you bring to the table with your experience. How are you going to be responsive? How, you know, is your product going to make a difference in their life? What's the transformation they're getting or the result that they're getting from being in your service? What are the, even the feelings of how you relate to people? That all goes into your value. But not just that, it can be so many different things about, you know, even some of your past experience. Like, for instance, you know, I'm a sales and business strategist. I say that because strategy is a big piece in sales. You need to know where you're going in order to formulate a plan. But also, I help people create a sales process so that they can create consistent results. And it's also measurable in that. So then you know where you're going and you know what you need to fix. If you don't have that, sometimes what you're doing is you're just kind of like, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard, hoping something sticks. And then you're winging it and you're using so much energy to constantly be improvising or constantly being, you know, people say, I just want to be present with my clients. But you can't really be present if you're constantly thinking about what you're doing next.
Yes. Oh, that's so true.
And so if you have that structure down, you already know where you're going next. So now you can really, really be there with your client.
And do you do this? Is it sort of customized for each person you work with, Kelly? Or do you have kind of a step-by-step approach that you teach and work with?
So one of the biggest things first that we need to do with clients is really build that value, that unique value system for them so they fully can understand and speak their value in the moment. So when you go to that networking event and somebody says, well, why should I work with you? I can tell you, you know, and I can tell you what I offer, but also why I'm different from my competitors, all of that. The second piece, once you get that moving and creating the language in your conversation is the second piece. So how do you integrate that when people are talking to you that now you can make it a natural transition? And then the second part is creating that process so that now as you're going through in the different stages of the sale, how do you then change your language and how you're working with them and bring in their needs and make sure they, it's customer centric because it can't necessarily just be about you.
Right.
So my process for most people when I work one-on-one with them is that we would do kind of like a longer day in the beginning to really nail down that value proposition, to really nail down some of that language. And then we would practice it and meet, you know, week after week. And then we would come together again and do the sales process. Now, I also do group programs, which would be more of like kind of the general, learning the general sales.
I see.
And where we'd go through the steps, but it wouldn't be as specific because I wouldn't be working one-on-one with you. And there's chance to ask questions, right? And get feedback on the live calls, but it's not necessarily it's all about you.
Right.
Right. You know, denial is such a big piece for a lot of people. In other words, they think they're really good at sales,
yes.
and yet they are not. So how do you convince them to open up? Maybe it's just about looking at results,
yes.
but how do you convince them to say, you know, we might want to look at this here?
You know, it's interesting that you say that because you're exactly right. The results will speak louder than anything that they have to say. Yeah. And if they're doing and not getting results, and or they have a whole bunch of excuses of like, well, this person was just here at this place, and well, this person wasn't feeling well when they were talking. No, mm-hmm. it's probably because they didn't understand and they were afraid to say no to you because maybe they knew you in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when people don't necessarily commit, there's one or two things happening. Well, sometimes three. Like one is that they're not sure how to say no to you, so they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of make up some excuse just to stop the conversation.
And you know what, Kelly?
Yep.
I hate to interrupt because I'm on the edge of my seat wanting to hear the other two too. But let's talk about that in our next segment.
Awesome.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Candy Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Ken Foster with my co-host, Paula Shaw. And we are talking to Kelly Sample, sales genius. She's going over the three reasons why people don't make sales decisions in the moment. We've covered reason one, and now we're on to reason two. What's up with this, Kelly? Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the second reason is that there really is something that people have to consider. So maybe it is that they have to move money around or they have to talk to a spouse, and that's a legitimate, you know, response.
Sure.
Or maybe there's just something they need to work out that for the details in order to make the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is that they don't understand what you do. They just don't understand what you are talking about. Maybe you were just talking the whole time and never asked them any questions. Mm-hmm. Maybe they felt alienated, you know, and they're left in a state of confusion versus in a place of decision. And that's one of the worst places to put your customer is in a place of confusion because if they know less or they have more questions after talking to you and not good questions,
right.
then we have a problem.
Yeah.
And that is a sales problem.
You know what I love about this discussion is that even if you're a consumer and you're not into sales, you're not a salesperson, you can listen here to find out what a good salesperson does so that, you know, when you're feeling off, you're probably off. You know, somebody's coming at you and throwing a bunch of stuff at you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, maybe we need to just back off of this and move to the next one.
And maybe even like what should people look for in a good salesperson?
That's a
great
question.
Because, you know, everybody's been cheated by someone who wasn't totally honest, Kelly.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. So I know you're present. You're authentic. I love those things about you. And I would imagine you teach that to the people you work with as well. But if I'm the consumer, you know, what should I be looking for?
Well, one of the first things is, what kind of questions are they asking you?
Mm-hmm.
Are they asking things that are just all about them and their products, or are they asking about you? Are they, you know, and sometimes they may ask you challenging questions of, you know, how are you going to use that product, or kind of what's going on that kind of frustrated you that now brought you to this point. Mm-hmm. If they're getting a little deeper and it feels almost like, ooh, like I've never been asked that before, uh-huh. but it feels like, wow, I could really see this brings to a solution. That's a good salesperson because they're really wanting to know about you, how you may use the product or service, what's going on in your life that can really make a difference
mm-hmm.
so that they can really match what their product is for you. Now, the second part is do they actually show you, you know, first of all, did they use the stuff that you talked about and your really true needs and show you how those needs can be met with their product? Some people ask great questions, but then what happens is they get into their product spiel and they forget everything about you.
Mm.
And they don't use any of that information. Mm-hmm. And as a consumer, that honestly, it almost feels like a bait and switch. Like you just spent all that time asking me these great questions,
mm-hmm.
getting to the source of what's going on, but now you're not telling me anything that is about that.
Boy, you know, I just had that experience the other day with somebody that gave me a lot of great information, but then the information was all skewed to represent their product,
yeah.
and it wasn't true information. It was just information they wanted me to have so that it would support their product sale.
Right.
And boy, did I run the other way on that one.
Yeah, and I think because you don't feel you're with somebody who's honest and authentic, and you don't feel safe.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I would think an important piece of being good at sales is making people feel safe with you, like they can count on you, right?
And that's a big piece. And I think even for you, you said you deal with grief counseling and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to make your client feel safer. They're not going to want to work with you, especially
absolutely.
In a very vulnerable place like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a product that's very personal. So I happen to work previously in the furniture industry and, you know, especially in beds, selling beds.
Uh-huh.
And it was a different type of mattress sale. So it wasn't just like going here, lay on that. We really got deep about what are your sleeping issues and how can we really help you feel better, because we know that when you sleep better, wow. you live better,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So having that type of transition and really being able to get deep with customers and letting them be vulnerable can make a big difference. But a lot mm-hmm. of salespeople won't go that, because the minute you ask somebody to be, ask questions for them to be vulnerable, it actually creates vulnerability in you.
Excellent point,
good
Kelly.
Good point.
Kelly, I just can hear our listeners screaming, how do I get a hold of this woman? Or if I have a company that I think she could be really helpful with, how do they reach
well,
you?
Well, she has a gift for our audience, too.
So we might want to talk about that while we're talking.
Well, and it's kind of all in the same place. So
perfect.
I have a great website. It is www.kellysample.com.
Could you give that one more time?
Yep. That's www.kellysample. It's Kelly with an I, so KellySample.com. And on the website, I have a gift. It's the 5 mistakes entrepreneurs make that lose them money.
Ooh, that sounds like a good one.
Yes.
The 5 mistakes.
So this could actually make you money like in the next week if you know how you're losing money, right?
Right. And you know, some of them are simple and some of them are not so simple. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of go into 5 different areas that you're really, you know, you may be losing a lot of money because of something missing. And it's mostly geared towards, obviously, the sales side of things, because that's where we make our money.
Right. Exactly.
Marketing doesn't make us money. Marketing, you know, is something that I like to create the distinction between marketing and sales, because also a lot of entrepreneurs don't see the difference. They
mm-hmm.
see it as one.
Mm-hmm.
They think you create a website and all of a sudden people are going to come to you and all of a sudden you're going to get all these sales.
Right.
But you still have to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to relate with them.
That's right.
And marketing may funnel a lot of people to you. And of course, that's what you're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you know how to talk to them and talk about what you do, guess what? They're not going to buy anything.
That's
and then
right.
you're going to blame your marketing. But your marketing is doing its job.
That's
if
a
people
great
are coming to you.
Point. A
so
great point.
It's separate things. And you got to identify which one is the thing that's the problem.
You know, one of the things I love about you is your tagline.
Oh,
Your tagline is "Don't be weird, just be you."
Yes.
Where did that come from? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's funny because it actually was something. So I was a sales trainer for 6.5 years with the company I was previously with, and I would always be talking about things and going, "Gosh, guys, don't be weird." Like saying things that don't feel natural to you, or trying to use a script that isn't written for you, and trying to use other people's words or techniques, it doesn't work, especially if you maybe are more of an introvert or more laid back and you're trying to talk to people and it's like, hey, what can I do to get you in this car today? I mean, that is like, I cringed when our last car salesman said that to me. And I was like, oh, we already told you we're buying today. Like, why are you pressing this? We told you what's going on, right?
Come into your body and actually be who you are.
Yes. And so, you know, it's really permission that you don't have to be somebody else to be in sales. And you don't have to be a natural born salesperson. Mm-hmm. You can learn sales skills and you can learn them in a way that you don't have to sacrifice who you are. And that's really what I teach is helping people really embrace who they are, really helping them be able to put that into their message so they're connecting with their ideal client. Your ideal client doesn't want to connect with somebody that's different and then all of a sudden start working with you and go, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
Especially with entrepreneurs.
So can you actually teach a person how to be who they are?
Well, you know, they have to first know who they are. But one thing that's really cool, so I also have
I'm
a background.
I'm just learning, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Right. I also have a background in law of attraction coaching.
Okay.
So, and also a lot of leadership coaching that is ontologically based. And so it's really about listening for their, or looking for their being, listening beyond the words. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times when I'm working with people, like I can hear what they're not saying.
Yeah.
Just by either their body or just how things are coming out. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. When I work with clients, sometimes they say to me, they're like, how do you know that's what I was thinking but I couldn't say? Yeah. Like, I can come up with these words for them that they're like, that's what I've been trying to figure out how to say. Mm-hmm. And that's really the magic of working together and how I help them be who they are. I help them say those things that are trapped that they can't quite get out there.
Yes.
And that's such a gift. That's such a talent to be able to do that, Kelly.
One of the best ways, I think, to bring that gift out is to just be present.
Yes.
You know, I remember I used to do grief groups, and I had some assistants who would help me because I'd break people into small groups. And I remember one woman once saying to me, so what do I do with my face when they're sharing their stories? And I was like, stymie, like, what do you mean? What do you do with your face? I mean, you know, how should I look? Mm-hmm. And I said, just listen to their story. Mm-hmm. Be here. Mm-hmm. You won't have to worry about what your face is doing.
Yeah.
It'll do the right thing.
Well, and you're exactly right, especially with very emotional things. Sometimes, though, in sales, people's faces do something completely different than their words.
Yeah.
And I actually happened to be one of these people when I started. Like, I'm like, I saw myself in front of a mirror, and I'm like, whoa, I do that? That's weird.
Weird stuff. Now, some of those subconscious fears are coming up, and you're like, you're tweaking your face, right?
Or the first training video I actually did with my company, it was so funny because I was talking and the person that was shooting me, she says, Kelly, you look like you're trying to raise money for starving children. It was so true because I was getting so serious about trying to get it right on video, and I'd never done video before. Yeah. My face was super serious. And so we actually did like a B-roll of, you know, made it like a commercial.
Outtakes from your video.
That's funny. So
Kelly, let's give your information one more time. How can people reach you?
So it is kellysample.com. That's Kelly with an I, sample.com. And then also I am hosting two webinars in 2 weeks that if you go onto my website, you can get the link to download my freebie as well as sign up for those webinars.
Oh, fabulous. So that's awesome. At kellysample.com. Also that free gift of the 5 biggest mistakes people are making in their businesses that are costing them money, right? Okay. Kelly, how great to have you with us today. Thank you so much. It's been a true joy.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, we've got Steve Sexton. He's going to be talking all about money, so stay tuned. We got some amazing questions to ask Steve today.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Candy Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio.
Are we having fun today?
We are having fun today. Kelly Sample has been rocking it. And now we're bringing in our man during our Smart Money segment, Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group. So, Steve, one of the things that came to my mind when we were chatting with Kelly, this concept she was discussing of how important it is in good sales to ask questions, the right questions, to actually be gathering information that's pertinent. Not because it's part of your sales script or not because, you know, it seems like what you should be doing, but because it's going to actually help you to provide better for your customer. And my head was going, boing, 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 that's Steve. That's what the Sexton Advisory Group does, right?
Oh, yes. You know what? The big thing here is this. When you look at somebody's retirement or their estate, it's about their family life. How they want their proceeds to go off to the one that they love mm-hmm. with the least amount of taxes, all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. when we start talking to people, we start asking questions about, like, you know, hey, how do your mom and dad, are they still alive? What are the health issues did they have? What was important to them about money? What's important to you about money? And we go through that whole question of what's important to you about money. Because there's a lot of people who are in the stock market and they love that thing, mm-hmm. but they actually don't love it because they're afraid of it. And they would prefer if they had their druthers to be in a situation where they don't earn as much, but they don't ever lose.
Right.
Okay. And asking questions and ferreting it about and helping people ask questions they don't really think or know to ask is the important thing to do. Often, you know, when we finish talking to somebody, they go, you know what? I've never had anybody ask me that many questions before in my life.
Yeah.
I wish I met you 10 years ago because I would have made this decision and this decision and this decision, and I wouldn't have lost all that money.
Mm. You know, Steve, by your questions, through your inquiry, do you find a lot of people are in wrong investments that they didn't have the tolerance for, the risk for, or maybe they're in the wrong investments because they have they're young and they can't take risk. And well, somebody's put them in some annuity.
I think that's a wonderful place to start, because the reality is most people have to assess their whole situation, their tax situation, their estate situation, what they need for income in retirement. And you have to educate somebody about the risk they're taking on. Risk takes on many different things. It could be in the fees you pay. If you're paying 2 or 3% in fees and you're sitting in, say, for example, the bond market that's only paying you 3%, when interest rates go up like they just did, their values just went down. So you're taking on a lot of risk for very little reward. So is it worth it?
Right. That's exactly right.
So it's questions like that that help people come to a conclusion where they make a decision that's in their best interest, because the strategy, one, is in their best interest, not mine or anybody else's, and then the investment fits that like a glove.
And I think there's different questions for different seasons of your life, right? I mean, if you're a young person, a middle-aged, or you're an older person, you're probably asking a lot of different questions.
You know what? I have a number of clients that work at Google, mm-hmm. and they're in their high 20s, low 30s. Usually Google will buy the company, get rid of the management, but keep the engineers, but pay them large retention bonuses, okay? And some of these engineers are pretty darn conservative, and they're going, you know what? I understand what just happened to me is awesome, but it likely won't happen for the rest of my life. So I better put something in place now, and I want it conservative because I might not need it for 25 years, but I want it to be there for me.
Yeah.
So what we did for many of them is we set up a situation to where they can put money in over 3 or 4 years, but when they're 25, 30 years down the road, when they're 50, 55, they're able to take a tax-free income that's a multiple six-figure income so they can go live their life the way they want.
Wow. How great. And I know you in the Sexton Advisory Group, there are tax people, there are insurance people, attorneys, trust people. I mean, you have access to all those, right?
If you do holistic planning and you take into account all those things, you have to have relationships with experienced individuals who know how to ask the questions that you just don't think or know to ask.
Right. And you have all those people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You have a lot of them.
It's so great because really what you offer is so personal and so customized. And you're not just offering a certain product because your company creates that product, right?
No. You know what? When you're in our industry, you don't create the products. They're usually provided for you. But you know what? When you look at the world of life insurance, there's 4 or 5 different types of life insurance, but there's probably 12 or 15 different strategies that you might employ depending on what a person has a need for. And the reality is, you know what? We're baby boomers. If you look at life insurance back in the day, people bought it for a death benefit. You know, a lot of people use it now to create a tax-free income. And if you look at annuities, they used to be the ones like pensions where you put a bunch of money in. When you died, it went to the insurance company.
Right.
Well, it's a lot different now. So even, you know, if you look at the progression of financial products through times, it was stocks and bonds.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, with the baby boomers, they brought in mutual funds. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, you brought in exchange-traded funds to lower the cost and all that stuff. And you're probably going to see different type of products move forward as we all age. Gosh, I'm in a baby boomer.
Well, you are a baby boomer, and I'm thinking about you right now.
The bottom end.
I got kids in high school. Oh.
And I'm also thinking of other baby boomers because you mentioned, you know, the products have changed. So with Sexton Advisory Group, what do you do with product assessment? What happens there?
Well, first of all, again, like I said before, it's really about creating the appropriate strategy to moving forward. And there's a certain risk that people want to feel comfortable in so they don't have that monkey on their back.
Yeah.
And once you've accomplished, hey, what is the strategy moving forward? And then you start identifying the products that fit within that strategy, whether it be insurance products, securities products, whether it be a tax structure, whatever, and then you educate them on that so they can decide whether it makes sense to do that. So, for example, I have somebody in a major trust issue right now where there's issues with the family, all sorts of things, but basically they have one piece of property. It's worth like $1.5 million, okay? There's capital gains there because the person who's supposed to be the trustee never distributed the assets. So there's like $750,000 in gain. So right now, my whole deal, my whole job is to reduce and eliminate taxes on that. So instead of having them pay, what is it, close to $400,000 or more on taxes, we're able to get the taxes, the net to them after taxes will be 93.5% of the whole value of the 1.5.
Oh my goodness, that's a major
shift. So it's going to save them almost like 30% in that.
Right.
So, you know, it's just understanding, and the reason why I'm saving all this money is it's because what they're doing after with the proceeds makes sense for the strategy. Okay, we didn't do the strategy first and said, here you go. The after what they're doing, what are you doing with the money afterwards makes sense for the strategy.
You know, a lot of advisors are hooked on the next greatest product in securities and insurance and banking. What do you say to that? You know, what's the next great product, or do you even go down that road?
Mortgage-backed securities, baby.
Well, I mean, that's explain like explain what that is.
Well, it made the bankers a lot of money, but there's a lot of people who lost a ton of money because it didn't have a foundation. Because the reality, mortgage-backed securities are based off loans that the bank provides. If you look at FDIC and how that's structured, you have $100,000 the Treasury lends to this bank, but they can keep 10% of that $100,000 online and then lend out $90,000 nine times. Okay? That's derivatives. Yeah. Okay? Wow. But when you start doing that 20, 30 levels down, I forget the name of that that one company, but you start having one loan go down, two loans, five loans, 10 loans. Next time it's 50, 60, 100,
so,
500.
So let me just get this clear. You're not recommending mortgage-backed securities.
No, I don't recommend securities at all.
We're just talking about the next hottest, greatest thing that you shouldn't invest in.
I talked to an 86-year-old gentleman, talked about this crystallized fuel that's been booming out on the internet. I think it's called OLM or something like that. And they're saying that Warren Buffett's investing it, Bill Gates and all that stuff. And I said, where's the proof? Where's the 10K from Berkshire Hathaway's and that says that they're investing in that stuff? They're
right.
just saying it. It's hyperbole. It means nothing. You need to sit down and investigate these things to see if they make sense. Understand the fees.
Would you call that a story stock? Is that what we used to call them that in my day when I was in the securities industry? So
that's a story.
I want to ask you one question before we run out of time. What do you think about e-currency and bitcoins and that kind of stuff?
Great question.
E-currency will probably be the wave of the future. You see what Amazon's doing right now?
Mm-mm.
I mean, they just bought Whole Foods. You know, pretty soon you're going to be delivered. You're going to get your food delivered by Amazon, and it was Whole Foods. Okay.
Yeah.
What's that mean to Stater Brothers, Target, all those companies? It's going to take away from their business.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at e-commerce and Bitcoin, it had its troubles, and it's having its troubles from time to time, but they're going to figure that out. You know what? A lot of, you know, the reality is you have those chips in your debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's e-commerce right there. All you're doing is sticking. Some people are passing the wand across.
Oh, really?
E-commerce is here. It's not gonna go anywhere. It's just once people become very, very comfortable with it and the security portion's there, it'll become more widespread.
Mm,
that's
wow,
great.
That's
well, listen, Steve, this week, what's your best advice for our listeners surrounding their investments?
Get educated. Find somebody who can teach you how your investments work. So you can determine whether you're making a good decision or not, and make sure that decision's in your best interest and not anybody else's.
Well, I know somebody, and that somebody
I do too.
Is Steve Sexton.
that's the guy right there. That's him.
And by the way, to our listeners, I actually sincerely mean that, because one of the reasons we love Steve and we're so proud to have him sponsor our show is because he's the real deal.
Well, thank
and
you.
What he says is the truth. So thank
Absolutely.
You again, Steve.
Thank
for
you
being
so much,
with
Steve.
Us.
And
you.
Listen, I want to mention this about Paula. You know, if you're dealing with upheaval and change in your life, or you're going through a challenging, you're experiencing a loss and need someone to talk to, you need a little support, I encourage you to talk to Paula Shaw. Paula is our grief expert and amazing coach, life coach, and you can reach her at paula@paulashaw.com. So that's paula@paulashaw.com.
And if you are thinking about starting a business, or you're in business and you're experiencing some challenges, don't forget that the man sitting across from me right here is an amazing business strategist and has been for over 21 years. So if that's you, contact Ken at kenfoster.com.
KenDFoster.com. There you go. We're in harmony.
Darn
there.
That D. Darn
all
that
right.
D.
Well, listen, I want to thank all our guests today and hope you'll continue to listen. And please listen to us on our podcast on soundcloud.com. Of course, this evening you can hear us on KCBQ in San Diego. And then next week on Wednesday across the country, starting in Florida all the way out to Las Vegas and several different stations.
Or
and
TransitionRadioShow.com.
TransitionRadioShow.com. You can get all our podcasts and listen to what we have to say. And a few gifts coming up very soon there too for you. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next week. Good evening.